This is Merloni and Fourier.
I'm actually accusing Christian Fourier of plagiarism. This is a word that was branded and created by Jessica Simpson.
By the way, has there been a more appropriate comp for the female version of Christian Fourier than Jessica Simpson?
Even when the Patriots don't play, they still win.
The dynamic Jonathan Taylor.
5
touchdowns today for the Colts.
Tannehill fires, and it's intercepted.
Did the Pats just turn into an AFC favorite?
There is nothing fluky about this offense. There is nothing fluky about this defense.
The Patriots are the hottest team in football, and it makes me want to effing puke.
It's Lou.
Let me write that down to Mary. I'm trying to edumacate myself.
It's Christian.
A quote from Jessica Simpson.
Yes. It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. It's a Patriots Monday. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
There you go. See,
look at that clean voice I got,
see,
huh?
On Friday when I asked that question, we just played the cough.
Oh, my God.
You're feeling better.
I feel better.
You got your ass kicked a little bit.
Oh,
there,
my God.
You?
Did I ever? That's what happens when you talk for 28 hours and you don't get any sleep. And you keep trying to work the next day and the next day and the next day. I feel like Bill has the same thing I had, though, just for the record.
Yeah,
I
heard him this morning. Right?
I think that was it. When people on the Twitch and Twitter and, you know, and the text line all started commenting on the noises I was trying to make off mic.
Without hitting the cough button, yes.
Well, no, and I was, no, at first I was not hitting the cough button. I would just turn my head. And then I was hitting the cough button, but it was picking up off your mic.
Oh, was it?
Yes. That was part of it.
Serious. And our people on Twitch, which you can check us out if you want to watch our show, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Follow us on Twitter at Merloni4E, and of course on Instagram now, Merloni4E. You can follow us there. So, you know, on Friday, Fitzy's like talking about a stress-free weekend. And he said, you sit back and you've already got your W in the bank and you just sit back and you hope
in the barn.
You hope for some losses. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Could it have gone any better? I guess it could have if Baltimore
ended
up losing
one.
That game to Chicago.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, you can't have everything.
No, you can't. And it is funny, the way it was trending, you have a back. So Lamar Jackson doesn't play. He's a non-COVID scratch. He's just got, you know, he's just sick.
Yes.
Doesn't have COVID.
Just
he's not
ill.
Injured. He's just
not
sick like
good.
Me. So he couldn't play. And their backup quarterback that is playing in his first game ends up hitting a wide open receiver who is a Sammy Watkins that takes them like inside the 5-yard line and they score on the very next play.
Yeah.
And then the Chicago Bears get the ball back and they can't do anything with it because they don't have a clue what they're doing. But yeah, an unbelievable weekend. And just real quickly, so what happened to Ryan Tannehill last week when I was talking about a dumpster fire game? Like, I thought that Mac Jones was due for a dumpster fire game.
You got it from him.
A game where you just throw a bunch of interceptions, nothing's going right, you lose to a crappy team, a team that you're better than, not because of anything else, because of the quarterback. So Ryan Tannehill, that was his dumpster fire game. And that guy's a vet.
Well, I'll say this. So what happens, obviously, the big one, I think you saw at 1 o'clock, was an absolute thumping of the Indianapolis Colts over the Buffalo Bills at home, 41-15. Jonathan Taylor goes for 5 touchdowns. And you start looking, I don't know if you start looking at Buffalo differently or Indianapolis differently. And what you're referencing is obviously Houston at Tennessee, beating them 22-13, Tannehill. Threw for 323 yards, but he also threw 4 interceptions at a quarterback rating of 19.2. So two games that were sort of like, you know, you look at Tennessee, who's the currently number one seed. Now they're sitting at 8-3, you're 7-4. Buffalo, who's in first in the AFC East, they were sitting there at 6-3, half game up. But, of course, now they're 6-4. Now you've got a first place, you're first place in the AFC East. They got absolutely thumped. And now the New England Patriots are 7-4 and the number 3 seed in the AFC. Like 2 weeks ago,
I declared
them a playoff team.
The Patriots.
It was a week ago, I should say, because they played 2 games in the last few weeks, whatever, for the most part. But after that Cleveland win, I was like, that's it. I mean, this is a playoff team. It would be a huge disappointment, devastating, if this team didn't make the playoffs. And they took care of business against Atlanta. And now, given the way everything shook out, now it's time to get greedy. Like, it's time to get greedy now. Now you start looking and saying, I can't believe a 7-4 team, 11 games in, can actually start thinking about the number one seed. How many years do we sit there, Fourier, when it's like 10-1, right? 9-2 at this point. Some team is like, okay, it's a battle for only 2 teams of the number one seed. I feel like you've got, I don't know, 6 teams battling for the number one seed in the AFC East?
Is this the parity that the NFL wanted?
Absolutely.
Because they got it. They got Gabe. Because I would even say there's a lot of teams right now that they're 5-5. Like Minnesota is 5-5. And a lot of people had kind of just, you know, said, listen, they're done. Like, forget about them. They're 5-5. They were losing a bunch of close games. And now they have 7 games left, which is nothing. Which easily, completely, even if you win half those games, or you have above .500 record.
Ooh, the Pats, they had 6 left.
No, that's even. Oh, but yeah, think about it. Think about the Patriots' schedule right now. So you got 6 games left. You just had a bye week, really, because you played on a Thursday. Now you got an abbreviated short week, which kind of like breaks up the monotony of the football season. You play on a Sunday against a tough team coming off a big loss, embarrassing loss. And then you have a Monday night football game. Then you have a bye week. Then you play a Monday night. Then you play against the Bills. No, so you play the Bills. Then you have a bye week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then by that point in time, after your bye week, you have 4 games left. It's so easy to, I guess, compartmentalize and deal with the length of the season when you're really only just breaking it down to 4 games.
Time-wise, there's no question about it. Like, it worked out well. I didn't even think you'd be in a position to kind of take advantage of it. You know what I mean? I didn't think you'd be in a position of 7-4 leading the AFC and possibly getting the number one seed to take advantage of the fact that you had a weak Falcons team, extra time to prepare for the Titans, and then, like you said, Monday night to prepare for an extra day at least, right, to prepare for the Buffalo Bills. And then it's not like you got a short week because of Monday night because that goes in nearby. So, like, yeah, you're right. The next 2 or 3 weeks kind of sets up really nice for them.
It's perfect.
Never thought they'd be in a position where they'd still be to get the number one seed.
I know, but you didn't because – okay, one, you didn't think that the Tennessee Titans would just implode. So, but they've been flirting with it the last 3 weeks. We were all wondering when it was going to happen because they basically lost their starting quarterback and their running back, Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And if you look at the yards per game since he left, it's progressively less than their average based on the fact that they just can't run it as good as they can without him. That's their offense. So they win the first 2 games. They actually beat a Saints team, and they beat the Rams. They're like, holy crap, this is fine. And then they lose to the Houston Texans. I would say that's an outlier. I would say that, let's not get it twisted, they turned it over 5 times. Like, that's never going to happen again. That's the worst game of his career.
You're right, and I said Tannehill threw for 323. They had 420 total yards. Before that, you talk about offensively, the yards are down 264 against the Saints, 194 against the Rams. It was both good enough to get W's against good football teams. And you're right, before that, it was always 360, 400 with Derrick Henry. So, you know, you look at that team, and I don't – going into that Texans game, it was one of the most impressive runs in the NFL. You know, when they had won like 6 straight, actually, but 5 against Buffalo, Chiefs, Colts, Rams, Saints, 5 wins against playoff teams. And now you're sitting there 8-3, and you have two losses against the Texans and the Jets. Like, the Texans and the Jets that are mixed up, those are the teams you've lost to.
I know, that's got
to
hurt.
And you went on a run of 5 playoff games that you've beaten up. Nobody thought you'd been in that game in L.A. the week after Derrick Henry. They manhandled that team. And they took care of business against New Orleans, who were up and down. I don't know where the hell they are every week. But 22-13?
So the crazy thing is that we've been talking like weeks ago, you kind of realized that even before Derrick Henry got hurt, that this Patriots team could compete, maybe not win, but they could easily compete with any team in the AFC.
They've shown it,
yeah. They haven't been blown out once. Right. Not one team has blown. They don't have a dumpster fire game to speak of.
As close as you can get.
No, I'm talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, the Saints. The Saints.
Even in that game to the end. So they don't. They don't have one embarrassing game, one embarrassing loss, and a lot of it's because of their quarterback. He's just not doing stupid rookie things. He's just not doing it. He doesn't have it in him. Now, maybe he'll have it in the next 6 weeks. I doubt it. I highly doubt it because he's been so disciplined and so, you know, consistent.
Yeah.
Consistently average, but not dumpster fire.
But I'll say this. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I had to try to convince you and Fitzy that don't give up on them yet. And then on Friday, I said, when they beat Dallas, we'll be talking about how they are the most dangerous team in the AFC East, and it happened. And I still think they are. Because, you know, we talk about defense all you want with that team, and people can rip Dak Prescott. That game there, every single completion he had to work for, every single time the guy caught the ball, it was like in coverage. Every single pass, it looked like it was contested. And I know they didn't score a lot of points, and that's who they are. But Kansas City Chiefs, they still, like, after 1 week, I mean, it was an up-and-down weekend, but still, you better start worrying about the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, listen, Foyer was off on Friday. We're going to do a quick little his thoughts, his biggest takeaway in that Thursday night football game because we never talked to him on Friday. And Mac Jones, he will join us at 2:30, see what his weekend was like. What do you think I don't know, just a week away, a weekend away from football is like for Mac Jones.
What do I think? That, do Living I think he actually hell. Lets his hair down? And you know, he probably
does he stay
suffers
up,
the
does
most.
He stay up to like 10?
No, no. Can you imagine his girlfriend saying, "Please, can we just stay up past 11? I gotta get to bed."
And what about Thanksgiving? I think he says like, you know, his favorites. He probably has his favorites.
Do you think he gorges himself on Thanksgiving like most people do? Listen, I'm just gonna throw away my diet just for this one day and just eat as much as I can. You think he does that?
That's a true statement.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
Kind of seems like a guy that like his mom would make the plate and cut his turkey for him.
And he just eats whatever she puts in front of him.
Yeah, just, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever you like.
Whatever it is. We'll see, whatever. I'll be fine with it. All right, Mac Jones is going to join us at 2:30. We'll get Foyer's thoughts, biggest takeaways on that big win back on Thursday. I know it's a while ago, but we never talked to him about it as well. So the Patriots, here they are, number 3 seed, fighting for that maybe that number 1 seed next weekend. Who saw that one coming? We'll do a little bit of the Thursday Night Football. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shotgun for Rosen. Two receivers left. Looking to his left. Rosen. Intercepted. Picked off. Van Noy. Still going to the 10. To the 5. He gets pushed from behind. Touchdown. The Patriots get a bonus. Kyle Van Noy, the pick 6.
And I have no idea what Josh Rosen's looking at.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was tough last 3 or 4 minutes for the Atlanta Falcons. But
wait,
of course,
what about Felipe Franks?
Felipe Franks, Red Sox minor leaguer.
Unbelievable. So Josh Rosen comes in. He throws 2 passes. And his 3rd pass is an interception return for a touchdown. And then they say, all right, screw this. All right, put in Felipe Franks. His very first pass is an interception. Oh, my God. They can't write this.
No, it wasn't pretty.
So they do exactly what they're supposed to do. It's even better. So the offense, I thought, was kind of, I mean, just overall, it was clunky. It was laboring a little bit. It wasn't as clean as you want. Third down was just, I don't know, like they were 4 for 12 on third down.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
That needs to get better.
Yeah, 1 for 3 in the red zone.
Yeah, defensively, they're feasting on average to below average team. Feasting on them. Having their way with them on every level. You know, front 7, front 4, linebackers, secondary, you name it. But the one thing I think that stood out to me the most is how now I have confirmation, at least I feel like there's confirmation, based on why Josh McDaniels was so angry. Well, not angry, but just very cold to Tyler.
Didn't play along.
When we asked him.
Very stern.
Yes, very just business-like.
Last question from Tyler, please.
When Tyler asked him about this, you know, hashtag free Nikhil.
Yeah.
It's so obvious how you get involved with this team in any situation. You keep your mouth shut. You do what you're told. You don't talk out of line. You don't bitch. You don't complain. And if you do all that and you do your job well, they will reward you. So what did N'Keal Harry do? Well, you know, he was doing all the dirty work, blocking his ass off, not really showing up in any stats whatsoever, unless it was Brian Hoyer throwing the ball in the fourth quarter. And sure enough, what did they do? In the first couple series, they throw him the ball. The dude hasn't seen a pass from Mac Jones in the first 3 quarters, like since, I don't know, week 1, maybe? I don't remember.
Back, but a while ago.
The fact is that he's not involved in the offense at all. So look for him to be involved more. He only ended up with 2 catches, but it was enough to say, listen, he's involved now. And he was open a couple other times. So did they do exactly what I thought they were going to do? Yeah, they won the game.
Yeah, that was a big takeaway. Like, very rarely does a game play out the way you think. Right, and that one absolutely did. Once you heard Cordarrelle Patterson was not going to play in this game, you said, I don't know how the Falcons are going to score.
They don't have anybody.
I don't know how they're going to score. But you said the same thing against Houston. I don't know how they're going to score. No, but this one
different
here,
time.
Actually, you're right. There you go. Different time. So it sounds like you're kind of not giving the defense that much credit because there's a crappy offense.
No. The Patriots defense?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm giving a ton of credit. This is what you skunked them. They didn't score a touchdown. Did they even cross the 50?
I don't even know.
They did.
Remember the whole missed field goal? Remember the illegal formation on a field goal attempt?
Yeah.
I mean, when you get that, like that is like what, illegal formation? You guys couldn't line up right? So they blew that team 25-0 out, which is the reason why you could sit back and just sort of enjoy the weekend. But going back to your N'Keal Harry comment, like you said, he's been doing his job. He's been blocking like all year long.
Yeah,
he's kept his mouth shut all year long. So week 11.
Yeah, N'Keal's done a good job.
You had to go through 10 weeks of that?
Do you think it's a surprise?
To start being more involved in an offense?
That this, it, so the whole year, there's a pecking order, and he's not in the pecking order. It goes Jacoby Myers, it goes Hunter Henry, it goes Kendrick Bourne, it goes Stevenson, it goes a bunch of players, not him.
Yeah.
Listen, you go in, Jonnu Smith, you go into block. That's how much we're going to take your heart away from you for demanding a trade.
For 10 weeks?
Yeah.
Because he spoke out about wanting a trade? That can't, I mean.
We'll pair that with the other guys playing well. You got to pair that with that. So he's not going to get any shots. And that is the way it works, Lou. People don't understand it. If you keep your mouth shut, you do what you're told, like they're gonna reward you. So what do? It was an obvious, hey, let's get the ball to N'Keal. First 15 plays. I can imagine him sitting there, you know, on a Saturday meet, or what it would have been Wednesday, as they're going over the first 15 plays, and we're going to get N'Keal the ball. Right here, hook right. Okay, get N'Keal the ball. Boom, here you go. Get him involved early, man. Let's get the ball in N'Keal's hands. And that's what they did. Now, listen, he didn't do anything after that. But to me, that was a sign of things to come. And you need N'Keal Harry to be part of your offense, and you need him to be playing at a high level, like, in the next six games. Like, involve him. Create a role for him that isn't just blocking. It's too easy to identify what the hell is going on when he comes out on the field. You know it's a run. It's time to change it up.
See, my thought, too, is that interception of Jonnu Smith, the one across the middle, and everyone's pointed out, including Matt Chatham, who had the video, and he's like, at this point, if you don't believe N'Keal can get open, whatever. He's been saying it forever. And it's like he shouldn't be tweeting to the masses and Twitter. He should be tweeting to Josh and Bill, okay, because they're the ones that don't let him go out and play. You know, that's not. So, but when you're Mac Jones and you haven't been looking at him, is that the reason why you don't see a wide open N'Keal Harry off to your right on that interception?
Terrible throw by Mac Jones.
But I'm just saying, do you have to start programming yourself? Like, okay, I forgot this guy's actually going out and not blocking anymore. And I have to actually look his way now if I'm going to start implementing him more and let him go out and run routes. You got to start kind of programming yourself, right?
Reprogramming yourself. Yeah, like he's part of that because I think they've been told that he's just left him out of the equation. So ultimately, and then to go back to this, remember, so 5 weeks ago, it was, okay, what is the goal here? You were, 2-4 at the time. You had five games ahead of you. Just go 4-1. Worst case scenario, you know.
Yeah. You want to be 6-5.
You want to be 6-5. That is, then you're right in the hunt. You have everything in front of you, and you're in the game. You're relevant. They go 5-0. They go 5-0, as we started talking about in the first segment. Look how much has changed in 5 weeks.
Oh, my God, everything.
5 weeks.
Everything. No, it turned into, like, after a 2-4 start, you're like, I don't know how they win seven. You know, I don't know how they do it. Like, after 2-4, they can't find ways to win games. And, you know, what is this team going to be? The franchise, everything. Bill Belichick, this is the answer after Brady. And now it's like just sit and hopefully the kid develops because you're not going to be a good football team. And now you've rattled off five straight. You might be the most dangerous team in the NFL.
Yeah, and you're also starting to see that, like, the Chargers. So the Chargers take a couple L's, they have a rough spot, and then they respond. Like the teams that can take losses and then respond and recover and not go into the tank and not feel sorry for themselves, you know that they'll be there in the end. They'll have an above 500 record. You know, they'll be 9-8. They'll get 10 wins, and they'll be a playoff team.
Probably, but I want to get your take on Mac Jones because, the team was fantastic against Cleveland. It was like the most perfect game they've played in maybe years. I can't remember going back. And he was outstanding. You know, but this game here, I feel like he's taken a lot of criticism. Like, he was great in Cleveland. He took a step back or he wasn't sharp. I know he took three sacks. I know he threw a pick. But he was still 22 for 26. You know, he still moved the football. Like, the ball didn't hit the ground all that much.
No.
Like, it wasn't like he was like 16 for 26. I know the team struggled on third down, but wasn't a lot on him. You know, they didn't run the ball on third down well or whatever, but I feel like he's taken a lot of criticism for this performance Thursday night when he went 22 for 26.
Over his last two games, he has connected on 41 of his last 49 throws. That is an 83.7% completion percentage. That's 8 incompletions.
Yeah, in two games.
In two games. I don't know what offensive coordinator, what head coach would not take that consistency. Now, he's thrown that one pick, which I'm sure he would like to have back because he had two guys open against Atlanta.
Yeah.
But he's been phenomenal. Well, you know, he's not throwing for 400 yards. So what?
Well, see, that's my first time. Remember last week when I said I don't look at him as a rookie quarterback anymore?
Yeah.
This was the first week nobody else did either. Like, nobody looked at him as a rookie quarterback. Because when you look at a rookie quarterback going 22 for 26 on a Thursday night game, first time he's ever had a Thursday night game, on the road, I don't care who you're playing. Like, that's a different type of week. And I felt like if it was week two, we'd have said it was a good performance by him. But nobody's looking at him as a rookie anymore. Because it's impossible to look at a rookie quarterback and do what he did and sit there and say, he wasn't that great. I mean, that wasn't really a good game. You know what I mean? So I think that just kind of tells you how people are looking at him differently now. Because we're judging that game, that performance on Thursday and saying, it ain't good enough. Or wasn't his best. Like, if he did that week two, people would be like, oh, my God, good. Nice, 22 for 26. He's taking a dunking, but whatever. He's controlling the offense. And so I just think that just tells you kind of where we view Mac Jones. The bar is raised a little bit here.
Situation.
Yeah, situation. Speaking of Mac Jones, it's Monday, so it's time to talk to the quarterback. We'll do that next. All right, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. It is a Patriots Monday. It's 2:30. It's time to talk to the quarterback, Mac Jones. And our conversation with the quarterback is sponsored by Mass General Cancer Center, every day amazing, and by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health at northeastmenshealth.com. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Mac Jones. Mac, how you doing? Christian and Lou here.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing good, man. So tell me, so how does Mac Jones enjoy his weekend off? Do you have a good little time this weekend?
Yeah, it was a good time off. I just hung out at the house with my family and watch football and just did normal things, I guess.
a normal human being.
Do you sit down like on Sunday when you? Because I heard you the other day say going to watch a lot of film. Are you talking about film? Or are you just talking about relaxing and watching the NFL on TV?
A little bit of both, just alternating. That NFL Red Zone thing is pretty cool. So watching that was good, and then just getting on the iPad.
Did you able to see your former teammate Cam Newton this weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Did you guys still talk?
Yeah, he played great in that game, and I know he's enjoying it. So he's out there having fun being himself. And, you know, I don't get to watch all of every clip and all that, but when he was in there, he looked pretty good. And he's doing a great job, so I know that he's having fun.
So, Mac, let me ask you guys now, 7-4. You start your career 5-0 on the road. And I'm curious. So, what do you attribute that to? Like, is undefeated on the road, is there something you can pinpoint to? Is it maybe, I don't know, playing in Alabama, getting used to playing against crowds or loud stadiums? Like, what is it?
I don't think there's anything crazy to it. I think just on the road, you know, you have to heighten your focus and really lock in. Not that you don't do that at home, but it does add a little bit of energy or whatever. But at the end of the day, whether you're playing at home, away, at a neutral site, it doesn't really matter. You just need to go out there and execute the game plan. So that's something that I've always put a lot of work into, is just not focusing on the situation and where the game is or what the weather is or anything like that, and just go out there and play.
You know, by beating the Falcons 25-0, I don't know if you knew this or not, you became the winningest rookie quarterback in Patriots history. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, okay. So you obviously wouldn't have a clue who you actually beat out to be the youngest, the rookie with the most wins.
No, I don't know who it is.
It was Jim Plunkett back in 1971. Do you know who? You ever heard of Jim Plunkett?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Pretty good player, yeah. Stanford. Yeah, had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
So I also saw, Mac, you know, N'Keal Harry getting involved early in last Thursday night's game. How important was it for you guys to get him involved early in the game, especially with all the work that he's been doing in the blocking game especially?
Yeah, I think N'Keal's done a great job in the blocking game, like you said, but also just coming to work every day and trying to get better. And he's got the right mindset going into the, you know, back half of the season. And he's going to continue to produce and continue to do what he's doing. So I just feel like I can trust him and I can trust all those guys, and they'll go up and make the plays that they're supposed to make. So he's definitely done a great job this year.
You know, when it comes to N'Keal Harry, like, what do you think his best attribute is as a receiver?
I think just attacking the football when it's in the air. I think we've seen that a few times this year, and when the ball is up in the air, he's got the mindset that it's his ball and he's going to go get it. So he'll continue to grow there, and that's something that I've noticed is in practice too. Just he has the right mindset when on the deep balls or any 50-50 balls.
So we're talking to Mac Jones on the Harbor One Hotline. Mac, I'm curious, your first short week in Atlanta, did you feel anything? Did it feel different? Was that some of the reasons why I saw you guys, 4 for 12 on third down, 1 for 3 in the red zone? Was a lot of that to do with the short week?
not really. I think just, yes, it's a short week, but it's still football, and we have to go out there and play better. So regardless of if you're playing on Monday, Sunday, Thursday, it doesn't really matter. We can do a better job of that, myself obviously included in that. But it is a short week, and you have to take it for a grain of salt because, you're not getting the full – it's just shorter. It is what it is, and you're not getting the full time. And the whole point is to win, especially on Thursday. That's something that a lot of people were talking with me about. It's just as long as we can get the win and just get through this week, then we can get back to our normal schedule, and that's how we operate the best around here.
So was there something that Atlanta did? Because obviously coming off that Cleveland game, it was just like the perfect game, right? The best all-around game you guys had played. Was there something that the Falcons did defensively that made just slowed you guys down a little bit?
Not really. I think just we watched the film, and we've corrected the things that we need to correct. And we're obviously their defensive coordinator was familiar with us, and the team we're about to play obviously has a similar scheme, and they're very familiar with us too. So we have to be ready to go, and I think it is a good game to play on Thursday just because they gave us a lot of different stuff and nothing that we haven't seen, and we just have to keep getting better from the things we can fix.
So, Mac, I was listening to Nick Saban's radio show, and I heard him say something about you when it came to something that you needed to overcome, and he labeled it a tennis player mentality. Could you explain to me what he is talking about?
Yeah. It was more like just early on, just when I was younger on like the scout team stuff, I just remember him telling me, like, you could tell how a play went just based off like my body language. So like, he wouldn't even, like, we would have practice and he wouldn't even be able to see maybe like what field I was on, but he would just see my body and he'd be like, all right, that was a bad throw based on your body language. So I think it was just all about that and how it affects my teammates. And I'm still working in that area. Just I'm very competitive and super passionate about football. And a lot of people on our team at Alabama were, and a lot of people here are. So I think it just there's a way to do it and rub off positively on people.
Is it true that your offensive coordinator at the time, Steve Sarkisian, I can't even say his name right, he nicknamed you John McEnroe?
And that was more of a Saban thing, but they all.
Oh, that was Saban?
Yeah, but they all accepted the nickname.
So I can easily understand now, I guess, Mac, why like those is that why those breathing habits and just keeping yourself under control are so important to you?
Not really. I think just that goes back to just like sports psychology, which those are like similar things, but you just. If you can calm yourself down, a lot of people do that, regardless of if you're too hyped up or not hype enough. You just want to get into your like game flow or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people do that. So it's not like a unique thing or anything like that. So.
Was it your parents were tennis players, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where the connection comes from?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it all started. I mean, I guess they all know, like, my family's a tennis family, and the tennis players have, some of the, like, McEnroe, they show emotion a little bit more than maybe someone else, but they're just all bought into that.
Speaking of Nick Saban, he used to have this phrase called rat poison, right? Like when the media hypes up your team, and obviously very good teams at Alabama. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, Mac, especially with some of the outcomes yesterday. But a lot of people in the media looking at your football team at 7-4 and starting to talk about AFC title games, starting to talk about the most dangerous team in the AFC or even the Super Bowl. How do you control that sort of rat poison, as Nick Saban would put it?
Yeah, I think nothing matters what other people say. You know, you can't listen to anything, and it all comes down to what you do on game day. And if you perform well, then you'll probably win. If you don't, then you'll lose. And I think that's something that Coach Saban's always said, and Coach Belichick says the same stuff. I mean, it's just you go out there on Sunday and you play well, then you put yourself in a position to win, and nothing else really matters is what people are saying. And that's all we can focus on is this week and getting ready to play against a really good team in the Titans. So,
yeah, so I'm assuming you've been able to, get a head start on this team. And what have you seen from the Tennessee Titans defense that that could cause some concern with you guys as far as attacking them?
Yeah, I think just watching them, they play really hard, and they have a really good defensive line and some veteran players in there. Secondary and stuff like that, so that they're going to be a real challenge. They're one of the top defenses in the whole country, and you can tell that on film. They're very sound, and there's not a lot of wide open guys, and they do a good job getting to the quarterback. So we just have to watch the film together and get ready to play against a really, really good team.
So we're here with Mac Jones. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Mac, I was curious because in the past, especially I think Darrell Revis actually brought it up and said that locker room is not fun. That, you know, you win football games, but it's not fun. And he's not the only guy that have said that in the past. We've watched this group play recently. I know winning is fun, but it looks like you're having a ton of it. So you tell me, is it fun playing for the New England Patriots? You understand why somebody like Revis would ever say that?
Yeah, I think it's fun. Like you said, if you're winning wherever you are, it's fun. And we've won a good amount of games here, but we have a lot of work to do. So there's nothing to be satisfied about. And this game is very humbling. And you just got to be ready to go every week. But I think that is a good point in that when you do play well and you put yourself in a position to win, and that just makes it way more fun. And you can see that for our team, but for a lot of teams, when they win, you can tell that the players are enjoying it. And when you lose, you're not enjoying it as much. So it's pretty much as simple as that.
All right, so last one for me, Mac, before we get to the big questions of the week. So the identity of this Patriots offense has been a big storyline this season. Like, okay, when is it established? In your opinion, what do you think the identity of the Patriots offense is?
I think we have a great offense that, you know, has a lot of work to do in a lot of areas, and we're not satisfied where we're at, but we've done a good job running the ball, and we can do a better job with the turnovers, and a lot of that starts with me and to not throw it to the other team. So but I think our identity is just, it really starts with practice too, is when we have a good week of practice, that's when it shows up in the game. So, you know, in the game, we run the ball hard, and our receivers make efficient plays, and it is what it is, and we just kind of keep stacking up good performances.
All right, Mac. Well, then, time for the quarterback question of the week, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health with locations in Dedham, near Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, Thanksgiving, big week, all right? So, what is your, are you a dressing guy or a stuffing guy?
I don't really care. I just eat whatever we have.
Because isn't there a difference between like, you know, some people eat stuffing. People in the South, they call it dressing. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
So is dressing just stuffing, just called a different name? It's not like anything
fancy
different.
Yeah. I mean, you can call it whatever you.
Or is it pecan pie or pecan pie?
I don't like that.
You don't like pecan pie or pecan pie?
What is your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
I don't know. I don't think we ever done any crazy.
Apple pie, pumpkin pie.
I don't like apple pie either. I don't like.
Wait, you don't like pecan pie or apple pie? Pumpkin pie?
Chocolate chips, chocolate cookies.
I like the chocolate stuff is good.
All right, how about the sides? Last one for me. Like, if you, one side on Thanksgiving that you can't do without. Like, you can take everything, but whether it's, you name it, stuffing, whatever you want to call it, mashed potatoes, one side that Mac Jones cannot do without.
Yeah, I'd just say mashed potatoes and gravy. Yeah. You have to on Thanksgiving. And the turkey.
Boy, you're right. Easy.
Easy, easy. All right. Listen, Mac, enjoy it. Have a great Thanksgiving, and good luck next week against Tennessee. We'll talk to you then. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
All right. A conversation with the quarterback is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Now it's time to review this week's powerful play brought to you by Enel. It's the Patriots defense, all of them, picking off all three Falcons quarterbacks. Enel, the official energy partner of Gillette Stadium. Boy.
Holy cow. How about that? Wait, there's some things in here that I kind of want to unpack for a little bit.
Bill Belichick loves Mac Jones. Can we just say that as far as the interviews go?
I actually feel like he's more guarded now. The longer we're getting into, the closer we're getting to the playoffs and the end of the season, he's got six games left.
More successful.
His answers are becoming shorter and shorter.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
No. No. Don't like that at all. But what stood out to me is this whole tennis mentality that he has. So Nick Saban realized that he had a tennis mentality, basically so bad that they nicknamed him John McEnroe. So John McEnroe, the complaining, yelling, screaming tennis player, is who they compare Mac Jones to?
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
So it got so bad that, so here's the story. So Nick Saban, and we'll play it. He was so bad. His body language was so out of control after every bad play that even though Saban didn't see where the ball landed or didn't see if it was a completion or not, knew if it was a good or bad play based on his body language. So if he had a conniption, if he had like a tantrum, like he knew it was an incompletion. So I'm sitting there going, was Mac Jones just a spoiled brat at the tennis club?
That ball was on the line.
Is he Spalding from Caddyshack? Is he Spalding? I feel like he's Spalding. His name
is... a hamburger? No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
To me, like what I hear from Mac Jones, even his Pop Warner coach said the same exact thing about him. That he was... They had to control his... like emotions, because he would be so upset. He's like, I want it now, mommy. I want it now.
Well, I would say that
I don't like that.
But do you have that set? Like, I understand everyone's talking about it with him. He's a Papuana coach, Nick Saban. But when you watch him play for 11 games, does he seem like a guy that like stomps his feet and off the field? Like, to me, I don't see that at this level.
He seems like a guy that has been really trying to work on that.
Yeah, he sounds like it.
When he goes three and out and he has to go march and sit back on the bench, he looks like he's going to burst into tears.
He's going to implode.
But yes, there's some emotion, like we said before. Remember that thing was like after week one or week two or week three or whatever it was, where you're just like, I'm worried about him mentally. Like one game he sat in the bench and you're like, oh my God, the look in his face, you're like, oh my God. And then you're starting to win. You're like, okay, now you can start having fun. Now is when it's fun. And I feel like now is he, like you said, he's even more guarded. You know, and the other day, like, he ripped off his whatever it was, chin strap, I think he got sacked and Folk bailed him out. But I don't see, like, the whole, like, stomping his feet off the field, like, whiny little spoiled brat. That was him when he was younger.
It sounds like it was him when he was younger, when he was in high school, and then when he was in college. So, to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, because
Do they belong to the polo club?
Probably the swim club.
I don't know.
He probably have like everything he ever wanted.
Country club.
And when
golf
things
course.
Don't go right, he has a
How
tantrum.
How can you possibly call that out?
See, to me, if I'm nicknaming you John McEnroe, it's for a reason, because you're throwing a tantrum when things don't go your way. Like am I hearing this right? Tell me if I'm right about this. Was he the kid that we try to keep our kids from being? Yeah, when my kids start having a fit because the ball doesn't go in, or they don't catch the ball, or they don't. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't buy you a 2 scoops of ice cream, and they start, you know, having a tantrum on the floor.
No, there is like some psychotic side to this kid. I feel like
he doesn't like apple pie. Is the least surprising thing. But
when you look at Mac Jones, like, look at him. He's like all American apple pie. No, he hates apple pie.
Does not like.
He doesn't like pecan. What's your favorite Thanksgiving?
Mashed potatoes.
I guess mashed potatoes. I just like anything chocolate. Like I heard guys all day today. I think Lauren's guy. Like, what's your favorite like Thanksgiving plate? And he just rattled it off. He's like, you know, Shaq Mason talking about the gravy and stuffing.
We got some fried turkey. We got some Hawaiian bread, some ham, honey baked ham. We got a little bit of sweet potato. We got some green beans, and don't forget the sweet potato pie on the side.
Yeah, that's legit.
Even the dressing and stuffing. It's basically the same thing. They just call it something different.
I feel like Bill listens to the interviews because, you know, he listens, hears everything,
grades them,
and he sort of can come back and say, "Look, listen, I could tell him it's okay." You know, to answer questions about Thanksgiving or to answer questions about, you know, jobs or answer these sort of questions, and I wouldn't get mad at him. And then he's sort of like, nah, I kind of like the way it is. Like, he's just guarded no matter what he says. Like you said, like, he just, if he could, he would just like to answer yes and no. It's almost like we sort of pause and I'm like, care to elaborate, like, on a few of the answers. And I don't know when it changes. You know, like, I don't know, because maybe you said, because he's more successful now. They're 7-4 and every that rat poison, you know, as Saban always talked about, because they're doing really well. It's like now I've got to stay away from it even more so.
Yeah, but you know the kid I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I know the kid. Yeah,
okay,
I know
kid. If you've ever been to, like, any kids' tennis tournaments, if you've ever been to, like, kids, the craziest
Haven't
kids
been
that
to
I
any
knew,
tennis tournaments.
The craziest kids that I've known,
World golf tournaments.
Or... Well, no, like, I've known, like, adult football players who were similar to Mac, and they were child prodigies on the golf course, and they used to tell me stories about, they used to have these conniptions and these, like, you know, tantrums when the ball was going.
Right,
like, that's him. So much that they were nicknaming him John McEnroe.
Well, see, that's the thing. Oh, like, the John Lord. McEnroe nickname to me isn't just body language. Because if it was just body language, it wouldn't be McEnroe, right? Like, it's not just body language. It is
You're
vocal.
Not giving me what I want.
It's vocal,
not going
too.
The way I want. So I'm going to hold my breath until it happens.
Yeah. You cannot be serious.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Can you imagine his parents? Oh, my God. He's going to lose it. He's going to lose it.
No. That ball looked in.
Oh, my
they
God.
Called
oh, my
it
no,
out.
No. Don't screw with the ref. Geez. Don't screw with the ref.
I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing.
Oh, my God. He's Spalding.
Oh, my
is
God.
Is Mac Jones Spalding? 617-779-7937. Ha! Load him up.
Load them up. Hey, this hour, Maloney for you, brought to you by Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com. All right. We asked him about Nick Saban's comments about this tennis player mentality. You'll hear exactly what Nick Saban had to say about it. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.